Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
Let's learn a little bit more about Sam Howell from someone who knows his career well. ESPN Commanders reporter John Keim joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Happy Friday, John. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
We are well. Always good to hear from you. I know we talked with you earlier for a preview when these two teams were facing off, when we learned a little bit about Sam Howell then, but now obviously wading into different waters. So we'll start with this. Why do you think Washington was willing to part ways with Sam when when we were talking to you last season, they thought, well, maybe he's the guy?
Well, and at that point, that was in play. Now, at that point, track for the number two pick, because even at that, when they went to Seattle, I think they were 4-5 at that point. And that was a good game, a game they could have won at that point, you kind of thought there may be a coaching change, but the way Howell was playing, Washington looked like they'd be picking in the middle of the first round or something, like maybe 13th or in that area where it might be hard to get one of your top guys. So you'd think, okay, well, what Howell is showing to that point, plus where you thought they're going to pick, it would, like, okay, you could see them riding with him another year or maybe getting someone else low in the draft, whatever. And then they fell apart, and then his game kind of fell off with it. And now you have the number two pick, and you have a chance to get a guy with a higher ceiling, whether it's Drake May, Jaden Daniels, plus it's an owner who didn't draft him. It's a GM who didn't draft him and a coach who didn't draft him. All those factors then led to this.
You know, I look at Sam Howell and I feel like he was probably used a bit too much. 612 attempts throwing the rock, a few games over 50 attempts, a bunch over 40. Do you feel like Bieniemy just tried too much to duplicate what he did with the Chiefs or help do with the Chiefs? Or do you think the run game wasn't there? Why so many attempts?
I think that's going to be a question people here will be asking for a long time because it never made sense. And it's funny, I have a podcast and I was talking to Herm Edwards about this earlier today in relation to rookie quarterbacks, which in essence, that's what Howell was last year because it was his first year starting. So it's a new offense. So it's essentially like you're a rookie. And his point was like, you got to build all this stuff around and you got to run the ball, take the pressure off him. They put it all on him and it never made sense. There were even people here who were like, we knew we didn't have a great line. And so why is he doing this? And I think the assumption was that they would run the ball more by some people. And it was very bizarre. And I know like part of the rationale, like Ron Rivera would tell us, well, you know, Eric thinks it's going to help speed up his development because he's going to see more. Well, that's all fine, but it didn't work that way. And they put a lot of the pressure on him to produce. And they didn't really, you know, they could have, like, Brian Robinson is not a bad running back. I mean, he would have been, he's a solid back. Like, they could have put together a solid run game to reduce some of the pressure. And they weren't just throwing because they were behind. That was the strategy. So, yes, I think they definitely put too much on him, and the kid's not done developing as a player.
You mentioned he's not done developing. I was just about to ask you a related question. What did you see that was kind of special, and what did you see where you thought, I still have questions about this, he's still figuring this out?
Yeah, and that's great. And so, like, what you like about him is he's smart and he's tough, and he throws he's pretty accurate. And so those are all traits that you can build on. He works very hard, and I mean, football genuinely matters to him. And you can't always say that about every player, and certainly not about every quarterback that I've covered, but I think you can say that about him. He has a lot of poise in the pocket. He's a very even-keeled guy. And I think sometimes that can work against you. I think there were times where some coaches here wanted him to kind of take a little bit more control when guys were running bad routes, et cetera. But I think he kind of feels like he probably had to build up to that. But all those other intangibles are there. Like, the players, like linemen, love the guy. And, you know, he didn't throw them under the bus. He was sacked 65 times. But here's the other part to what you just asked. A lot of those sacks were not on the offensive line. Like, it wasn't a great offensive line. But where Howell struggled was holding the ball a lot. And in his first, I think it was his first seven games, he was sacked 40 times. Now in the next 10, it was 25 sacks, so 65 total. But there was a big improvement there, and some of that was game planning, helping him out a little bit more, him like maybe developing a quicker release or processing, whatever you want to call it. But the other thing that's still to me a little bit of an issue, but it got better. And his sack to percentage ratio was really bad, and it was not sustainable. It got better. The other part, though, is the anticipation on throws. I think he needs to be able to anticipate better, and that was something that, I think that's definitely a part of his game that you have to keep developing. And then I think the other part is trusting the guys down the field. In North Carolina, in college, he was really good at throwing the ball down the field, did not take a lot of deep shots here. And I think there were sometimes they felt like he didn't maybe trust the receivers as much when in certain situations. And sometimes he's getting off on him too soon, maybe not sticking with it, not sticking with it enough, whatever it was, or just not taking a shot. That was something. But and you got DK Metcalf there, you better throw it up to him. So I think like that was one of that was another area. And then the other part to his game that I think, and you saw this when Jacoby Brissett came in at the late part of the year. Jacoby's 6'4", Sam is 6'1". Jacoby could stay in the pocket a little bit more because he could see over the line. And this is where the line really hurt him. It wasn't always the sacks. It was the pressure. And so the pocket would collapse from the interior, and it would, I think, impact his vision to see some things, and maybe it would cause him to hesitate a little bit or to try and move out of there to get a better vision and maybe move into other trouble. Whereas Jacoby, when he was in there, wasn't sacked. And he played parts of a couple of games, right, in the second half and did really well, was never sacked, because he could hang in there, see, know it was going to come, let it go, but take the hit, knowing that he had the completion. And I think that was one thing that that Washington did not do, was build a good interior for him.
John, that's why I love talking to guys and women who are just close to the team, because when this trade goes down, obviously the first thing I do is I look at his performance against the Seattle Seahawks and go,
sure,
all right, let me see what's going on there. And what I saw was a young man who understood where the guys were when it came to blitzes, who got the football out of his hand quickly, had the longest pass he had over the year, a lot of yak. It was a 51-yard touchdown. And I see that and I go, okay, when he's comfortable, he's capable of doing the right things. As the season progressed, did he get better at picking up those reads and getting the football out of his hands and just looking more and more like a quarterback who can play in this league?
Well, he got better was, again, getting rid of the ball and not taking the sacks. He was much better at that, because, again, like the last, I think, 10 games was 25 sacks. So that was far better than the first time. The other thing he does well is he can extend play. And there were some games, you go watch the New England game, they beat them a couple weeks before they played Seattle, and he had a couple of plays where he just made on the run. It was like, holy cow. It's just, that was different. And, but where he didn't get better in the last 10 games, like he was there, was taking care of the ball. He was the last seven games, I think it was like four touchdowns of 12 picks. He was getting, and there were a few pick sixes. And, I think some of that, you start to fall behind in games. Some of those were a result of that. But the turnovers were an issue. And I think that was something that he has to get better at as well, is just protecting the ball. He did learn in that. I mean, he's a smart kid. Like, this kid is not done developing. I felt like before the year, I had a conversation with his dad for a story I was writing, or one of his college coaches. And, we were talking about the leash he had in Washington. I said, well, I think the hard part for Sam is going to be how patient, how long they stick with him, and not just this year, but beyond this year, because he's going to need to develop, and that's the way he can do that, and being in one system for a couple years and then coming in and playing. So that's why I think Seattle's a good spot for him. You can go in there, you got a new staff, you can play behind a veteran, and you can develop there and just see where you go from there. He definitely has, like, even people, there are a lot of people here who liked him. It's just they consider him like a high-end backup or a mid-tier starter type. So, they definitely have some tools to work with. It's just that for Washington, and he has a lot of fans here, but it's just that you have a chance at Jaden Daniels or Drake May, who have a higher ceiling. It's kind of really, there it is.
Exactly. It's like for two different teams with two different situations. I mean, for Washington, this was the right move. For Seattle, it's also the right move, right, to bring someone in.
1,000%. 1,000%. And I think, you know, if they had – it's funny because it's just like, you know, Washington – Seattle gets Mike McDonald to pair with a veteran GM in John Schneider. Washington goes with Dan Quinn, a veteran coach, to pair with a first-time GM in Adam Peters. I think, you know, like they went – Washington went out and got Marcus Mariota. Well, I think Howell could be a good backup. If you're going to go with the rookie quarterback, you're going to want a guy with more wisdom and experience to help him. Sam is going out somewhere where they don't need him to do that. They can allow, you know, he can learn from them and then also grow. And I think a guy like Geno, who's been through a lot, can be good for a guy like Sam. So I think it's a good spot for him. You know, I think highly of Sam Howell. I mean, I really do. And I think, you know, I think he can, you know, can he be a Gardner Minshew? Maybe a little bit better. I don't know, but I think he definitely is not done.
There's one thing we know about the Commanders. I'm kind of going a bigger picture here, is that they've made a lot of moves. Bobby Wagner is over there. Obviously, it makes sense with Dan Quinn. What is the feeling with the fan base about the moves that have been made to make this team better in 2024?
Well, I think every time there are big moves. And they, you know, they didn't have these big splash signings. I mean, Bobby obviously is a big name, but he's not—he's no longer the splash signing, right? But for this fan base, like a guy like that resonates because you weren't getting Bobby Wagner before, and they, you know how much he can still play. He's still a—he's still better than what they had. They also have a couple other linebackers to pair with him, so he doesn't have to be the guy anymore here. But the leadership and all that. So I think fans get excited about that. I think what they're really – what they're excited about is the strategy maybe behind a lot of these moves and how they what they've done is, like, you know, some of the older guys, Bobby Wagner, Austin Eckler, one-year deals. You're not tied to them for a long time. They didn't take on bad contracts, you know, just because they had the cap space. So I think they're more – I think what they're probably – I think what fans are more excited about is the responsibility – the responsible signings that they've made, and they make sense. They sign a center, they sign a couple of defensive ends, nobody that's great, but solid starters that these guys all know, and they still have a lot of draft capital, and they have a lot of cap room in the future. So this is just, I think fans look at it and say it's a chance to get started, but you know, I don't think they dramatically made themselves a ton better with the roster. I think where they're better is going to be with the coaching staff. And specifically, you know, with what they can do on defense with Quinn and Joe Witt and Ken Norton, who's the linebackers coach. So I think that's where I think it's the prudent and responsible approach that they've taken that I think is really resonating with fans.
Yeah, I know that Bobby had his introductory press conference, or rather spoke with reporters. But John, you're gonna love interviewing him. I'm telling you, he's such a smart guy, a little old school. You'll enjoy all those interviews. My last question is going quickly back. I know you were talking about, you know, is it Daniels? Is it Drake May? Is it like 50-50 split there? What's it like? What are the conversations like there in Washington about what you guys think they could be doing?
That's a good question, and I don't know what they're thinking. As far as I know, I've talked to some people there who are really high on Jaden Daniels. I know some other people in high up positions are really high on Drake May. So that's where I'm at. And I know other people who are pretty good friends with Adam Peters, and he's not telling them where he's leaning. So, you know, it's been really hard. What I do know is that defensive coaches hate facing quarterbacks like Jaden Daniels. They just do. Like, they know how hard it is to prepare for quarterbacks with that sort of skill. And, you know, so I think that and I think the other factor for him is he's improved, but he's just now started to ascend, right? Whereas I think with Drake May, I don't know. I think the size in the pocket and the pocket ability is really good, but there's some inaccuracy issues. And I talked to somebody yesterday, like, that doesn't improve in the NFL, right? I mean, it's rare. So I think so now, is that leaning toward Jaden Daniels? I don't know. But I think you try to read either tea leaves or logically piece it together. It's just like the coach search. I will say, like, when they did their coach search, and a lot of people felt like Dan Quinn was like this fourth option, he never was a fourth option. He was always a top option, not the, but a top option. I don't know that they really had a top option. And But it was the approach they took, I think, is the same one they're taking the quarterbacks. Go through the process, like the whole thing with Ben Johnson, where they never interviewed him in person. So he was never like this strong leader in the clubhouse, right? Because they wanted to interview him in person. I think the same thing is true with and Mike McDonald was definitely a guy high on their list. But I think what's true with the quarterbacks too is go through the process. They met with him at the combine. Well, those are 15-minute interviews. They want to see him at the pro days. They want to meet with him in person. I think, you know, that's where it's going to be decided. And I don't think they get, you know, this is a group that tries to, you know, they try to keep an open mind, try not to get emotionally attached. But like I said, when you watch Jaden Daniels film, dude's kind of electric.
So, right.
You know, so, I mean, that's defensive coaches hate that. That's what I know.
He is ESPN's John Keim, and we won't, unfortunately, be having you on for any kind of game preview this time around, obviously. That'll be in a couple years. But we're rooting for Bobby. Dan Quinn is a great dude, so we'll be enjoying your coverage from afar. Thanks so much, John.
Thanks, John.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Some interesting stuff from John Keim of ESPN, who covers the Washington Commanders. I wrote down a couple notes to just quickly go over, Bump, before we move on to headline rewrites. I thought it was interesting. He said, he made it clear, look, Sam Howell is an unfinished product. People here saw him as like a high ceiling backup where you never quite know, like it could be something better. But look, he's a fifth rounder. It's not like he's a bust or anything. But he said, I think highly of Sam Howell. Maybe he ends up being a better version of Gardner Minshew. I don't know. I think that that adds more important context to who Sam is as a player. Maybe who John Schneider sees as a player. I think people think, like, why would you ever do this? He's not anything there. Both teams got exactly what they wanted from this.
Yeah, exactly. The Commanders are going to draft, hopefully, their franchise quarterback. With Sam Howell being the fifth-round pick, no one expected much out of him. Just like with Brock Purdy, who was the sixth-round pick, our last pick in the draft, no one expected much out of them. So when we highlight who Sam Howell is, I don't think we're necessarily saying he is a quarterback of the future. We're saying he could be.
There's context.
Yeah, we shall see. But a fifth rounder, yeah, you're supposed to come in and back somebody up. And then if you develop in a few years, you'll be good to go. Brock Purdy to mess it up for everybody. Now everyone has high expectations for wherever you are drafted.
I liked also his answer, and I saw you nodding along with it when he was talking about what goes on in the pocket for Sam Howell. Mm-hmm. What's with all those sacks? What's with some of that production? And you said, I appreciate hearing from someone who knows. Why did his answer resonate with you?
Because both quarterback and lineman play a role in sacks. And it sounds like initially 40 sacks in 6-7 games, that's crazy. Initially, Sam Howell was the problem, but he never threw his lineman under the bus. Mm-hmm. And then as the season went along, obviously he's still going to take some sacks, but he's learning and progressing. So I just like that he pointed out that he struggled early but still maintained his offensive lineman's support by not blaming them and taking on the chin.
Cool stuff. Great interview. Let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
Headline number one, the biggest story in the NFL today. That's Aaron Donald announcing his retirement after a storied 10-year career. What's the real headline?
Our long national nightmare is over. At least that's what quarterbacks are thinking today. Did you guys see Kyler Murray tweeted, thank God, all caps, but plenty of love, obviously. But yeah, if I'm a quarterback, I'm doing a tip of the cap to one of the most storied defensive players we'll ever see, and not also a sigh of relief.
We're just fortunate to have watched this man play the last 10 years.
Too.
In person, defensive rookie of the year, all pro almost every year. Number one player in the NFL, according to his peers in 2018. Four sack game, three sack game. There's pictures going around of him being triple team. I mean, he is the standard. If you can find, if anyone in a combine or a draft has an Aaron Donald comp, that means they're doing something special. I watched his combine performance the other day. Silky smooth, explosive. Good for him. Great career.
I always like kind of a look back at what we said at the time, we being royal we. When Jason Kelce announced his retirement, people were retweeting the Eagles when he was drafted, saying, out of the sixth round, Jason Kelce with his last name spelled wrong. Now, that's not to drag like whatever social media intern was there at the time, but rather that no one knew he was going to become this Hall of Fame center that had this long storied Super Bowl winning career with this team. Like, you just didn't see it coming. So it's always funny to look back and go, remember when we spelled his name wrong because we didn't know what he'd become?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Donald was a first rounder, but he was undersized and, you know, certainly not first, second, third, fourth, fifth overall pick. Adam Schefter, I like that he did this, retweeted a tweet that he sent out with a text that he got during his first camp. So the tweet was initially from July 26, 2014. He said, just got this text from Rand's practice, quote, Aaron Donald is unreal. And it's so funny knowing 10 years later what that ultimately became.
Mm-hmm. Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, the Seahawks finally have a linebacker on the roster. They've signed former Buffalo Bill Tyrell Dodson. What's the real headline?
Considering how close we were to rostering Dave Wyman, this is great news.
Awesome news. Finally have somebody that you know you're going to see on the field on that second level. And this is a good player. He's not your Mike linebacker. He's a bit undersized, but he plays quick. He's not like a real physical type of player. He can be physical, but he preferred to shed blocks and go around you. But no, I like the pick. The guy who's been in the league for a while, Texas A&M, I believe, is where he's from. Played over there with the Buffalo Bills. Knows what winning looks like, what it feels like. Again, just put some names on the depth chart at this point.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number three. The Cougs advanced to the Pac-12 semifinals with an easy win over Stanford last night. They're facing the Colorado Buffaloes at 7:30 tonight. What's the real headline?
Is extended time in Vegas the best thing for a bunch of Cougs?
It's great for Vegas. I'll tell you that.
It is.
Stay
great
hydrated.
For Vegas.
You know what I mean? We're going to do what we do.
Great for a couple bars out there.
You players, stay in your hotel rooms. Bring out your game consoles and do that. For us, washed up parents and athletes, we will hold it down for you, man. My guy Brian Walters hit me up and asked if I was in Vegas for this tournament. And I go, don't even text me no more,
yeah.
Brian. Yeah, I'm working, and I know you're golfing and drinking.
You'll soon be golfing, maybe.
Nah,
it's
going down.
Do we have a forecast update on Mariners game?
It's going down.
Tell me it's not raining.
I don't know if we can exit the building right away. I'll just say that.
That's not what I got in my forecast, man. Talk to somebody, dog.
I will say, though, the Pac-12 tournament being in Vegas, I mean, this is the last Pac-12 tournament in its current format. Like, the Pac-12 got so many things wrong over the years. The biggest smashing success they ever did was moving it from Staples Center, which was the most lifeless crowd watching college basketball ever, to moving it to Vegas, I think probably about a decade ago now. Like, I had the opportunity to go in 2017, 2018. One of the best fan experiences I've ever had. Like, it was Larry Scott's idea. Like, Larry didn't get a lot right, but putting it in Vegas, it's a great time for everybody that has ever gone.
Some big moves around the NFL. We are in just the third day of NFL free agency. Everything you need to know coming your way next.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Check out the Box Yard across from T-Mobile Park featuring Hatback Bar and Grill, Steelheads Alley, and Victory Hall. The Box Yard is Soto's premier pre- and post-game destination with delicious bites and brews. For more info, visit mariners.com/boxyard.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Two of the first quarterback picks in a very bad class a couple years ago are now with new teams. Desmond Ridder yesterday traded to the Arizona Cardinals. And today, Kenny Pickett has been traded to the Eagles. That was for pick number 98 overall in two 2025 seventh rounders. Kenny Pickett going to back up Jalen Hurts in Philly.
You know what? I thought they would keep Pickett around just to kind of help push Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson push him. But nah, they're like, look, we got our dude. Mm-hmm. We have our guy. You are gone. Desmond Ridder, again, man, had a great season with Cincinnati. Got them to the playoffs, I want to say, or at least close to the college football playoffs. Undefeated season in Conference USA. A couple good years. Thought he would be better in the NFL. But again, you get 1 year to prove it, Stacey.
That's it. And then you're out of there. And then you're watched. Someone texted in, and I don't mean to call this person out, but they were like saying that they heard somewhere else that they were calling Sam Howell a bust. And I said, he's a fifth rounder. I don't think you can be a bust if you're a fifth rounder.
Nah.
Day three pick, you cannot be a bust. That's it. That's the cutoff. Day two,
I agree.
You know, like I'll count like Malik McDowell was a high second rounder. Like I'll count stuff like that as like, oh man, that feels like a wasted pick. Certainly first round picks, not a fifth rounder.
Nah.
Fifth rounder, if you have a career that lasts longer than 3 years, you are a success story.
You get that
story.
Second contract, you
exactly.
good.
Exactly. A day after releasing Mike Williams, the Chargers traded Keenan Allen to the Bears for a fourth round pick. Question, will Justin Herbert have any pass catchers? Time will tell.
Well, thankfully, they got a pretty high pick in the draft.
Either their pick of the two receivers if Arizona trades it, or
Roma Dunze or Marvin Harrison. You got Neighbors over there with LSU. And again, receivers are a dime a dozen. Now, Rome and Neighbors and Marvin Harrison are in a class of their own, but you can still get some pretty good receivers along the line. So I think they'll be fun.
The Chargers, again, have the fifth overall pick with a shot at either Marvin Harrison Jr. or Roma Dunze. That's if Arizona trades back or doesn't take one of those guys. If Arizona takes Marvin Harrison, Roma Dunze could go as high as number five to the Chargers. Love the idea of them going with the wide receiver. They had one of the oldest wide receiver groups in football last year. It's kind of like how the Seahawks are with linebackers. Now, the Seahawks didn't have one of the oldest linebacker groups, but they knew that they needed to upgrade at receiver and get younger there and get some new guys. Mm-hmm. But now they're kind of looking at no one. And that's where the Seahawks are. Seahawks knew they wanted to get better defensively, but now they have a huge void. So working on that one. The Vikings acquired the number 23 pick from Houston. Why does it matter? Because Minnesota now has two first-round picks, number 11 and number 23. Feels like enough to trade up and take a young quarterback.
That's what Curtis and I were talking about before the show. It feels like they're positioning themselves to do exactly that. You pay Sam Darnold $10 million for 1 year. There's room for discretion, right? Are they going to make the move? Are they not? If Sam goes and balls out this year, he set himself up for the future. But if they're going to get a quarterback, it don't matter what Sam does. Eventually, he's going to be replaced.
Biggest story of the day. We've been talking about it all day, but I'm going to revisit it one final time. Aaron Donald announces his retirement. Now, here's why I'm revisiting it. We've already talked about everything he's done, and all of that is really, really great. It is wild, though, that he, and this is Jen and Beaverton pointing this out. We talked about it earlier in the show, too. Jen says several times during 2017 to 2020, Aaron Donald should have been MVP, not just Defensive Player of the Year. I was looking through MVPs. Like, I pulled up a list of MVPs since Aaron Donald was in the league. I can't necessarily find one where I'm like, that guy shouldn't have been it. It's like, okay, Brady had 4,500 yards and this amazing season. Patrick Mahomes had over 40 touchdowns. Peyton Manning in 2013 with the Broncos headed up the best offense in football. Like, for each one, you're like, God, I can't make a case for someone else. And yet Aaron Donald not being an MVP ever is insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. But we all know how the NFL works. The guys who sell the most tickets are the quarterbacks. They have the most responsibility. And I think when the voters are people who write about the NFL, they're going to lean towards the guys who make the most money and who are the quarterbacks, who are the faces. So it makes sense. I think real football guys would have made Aaron Donald a MVP at least once.
I think so, too. I think if you let football players only, I mean, you'd have to maybe be former players or try to make sure that there was as little bias as possible to former teams. But if you had them vote for MVP, I think you might have fewer quarterbacks.
Yep.
Like, I think Derrick Henry would have won MVP over 2,000 yards.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? Like, you can't have a running back do that and be the star of his team. That team did what they did because of a running back. Mm-hmm. Much like with the Rams. It's like, yeah, Matthew Stafford put them over the edge, but are they the Rams without Aaron Donald? No.
I don't know about that, though.
Really?
Matthew Stafford was... There's a debate because, yeah, Aaron Donald can do all the things that he does on defense, but he ain't putting no points on the board.
Sure, but also Matthew Stafford at Cooper Kupp. Now I'm just talking myself into a corner. Like, I know Matthew Stafford is a great quarterback, great arm, obviously a former number one overall pick.
The Rams had Cooper Kupp already.
Exactly.
They had Matthew.
I just look at Aaron Donald and I go, like, there has to be a case here. There has to be an MVP case here.
You appreciate football. You appreciate his job and how hard it is, but you don't win if your quarterback can't toss that thing.
I guess the way I look at it is the only way that a defensive lineman or any defensive player will ever be MVP is to get 24 or more sacks in a season.
Probably. What's the record? 21?
It's 22 and a half or 23?
I don't know.
Strahan and Watt tied it. I think it's 20. I think it's 22 and a half, but I'll say 24, 25. There's no way you're not MVP. That's got to be it.
Yeah. You would hope.
Well, Mike Vrabel is not obviously a head coach with a new team, but he is with a new team. The Browns have hired him to be a coaching and personnel consultant. He returns to a city, obviously, where he's been before, but also with a team where he can kind of be behind the scenes in this interim kind of front office coaching role.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, you know he's going to be around. Those guys, teams create positions for guys like him. He will be a head coach once again or a coordinator once again.
Mm-hmm.
Keep him around. Wealth of knowledge. Good coach.
I don't remember this. The 253 says, Bump, it's funny how so-called draft experts gave the Hawks a bad draft grade in 2022, because they didn't take Pickett, Ritter, Willis, or maybe they mean Howell. All were trash.
No, Matt Corral.
Oh, Matt Corral. All were trash. I don't remember this. I think that it was universally panned as a draft class.
Yeah, but I think it was a conversation because in 2022 at that point, you're trying to figure out if Geno's going to be the
true
guy. Yeah,
that's true.
Makes sense.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I feel like an offensive lineman there made so much sense for them.
Yeah.
But
I mean, because the problem with the Hawks have been you haven't been able to protect the quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. Or put a good offensive line out there.
All right, the Chiefs, you talked about this in four down territory last time, we're going to get to it, signed veteran wide receiver Hollywood Brown to a one-year deal. How much of a difference does it actually make for Mahomes, given the Chiefs' weapons last year were panned after leading the league in drops, and they still won a Super Bowl?
Makes no difference.
Not at all,
I mean, of course, like, it cuts down on the drops, and maybe you draw some plays you normally don't draw up, but we all know what the catalyst is over there, and that's number 15. Now that you've locked down Chris Jones, 15 is still there. Mm-hmm. You add a weapon there. Even if they didn't go Hollywood Brown, you're still picking them to be in the championship game, aren't you? AFC.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, last story here. We finally heard from Russell Wilson out in Pittsburgh. He spoke with reporters for the first time and said exactly what he's supposed to say. None of this is surprising. He said, I wanted to be able to win championships with Coach Tomlin and these guys in the locker room. This was this afternoon, just a bit ago, after speaking publicly for the first time since signing that contract. Pittsburgh is a great place to be, grateful for the opportunity to be here, get after it, and do what we came to do here, and that's to win football games. So go figure. He's saying, yeah, I want to win championships here. He said, I came in with the mindset of just being the best version of me every single day. I think that's always been the plan. Our goal is to get more trophies and do everything we can to win. He said, I'm expecting us to win when asked about his expectations. Nothing here is shocking. Does he actually have an opportunity to do it in Pittsburgh?
I think he has an opportunity to be a bit more competitive than he was over there in Denver. I think it's set up for him. I'm hoping he learns so much, man. You're going to Denver. You have all these requests. Things are getting crazy. You got a coach who humbles you and pretty much tells the whole world he does not believe in you. And now you're refreshed. You have a coach who believes in you. You have weapons. You have a run game. It's set up for them to win some games. The problem is you got to see Lamar twice. You got to see Joe Burrow twice. And then the Clevelands aren't any chumps either.
Wilson said he also texted with Kenny Pickett immediately after deciding on the Steelers, kind of starting that relationship going, went to dinner with a handful of teammates. I like to think that today Kenny was like, well, it was nice meeting you. I got to get going.
Thanks for the talk, man.
Yeah, you're listening to Bump and Stacy on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. What I Need to Know coming your way next. Get your questions in now. Any question you have, text it 866-979-3776. Your questions, our answers next.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed.
Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, and Electric. We are keeping an eye on the Mariners game, and we are going to have some Mariners talk in case we're rained out. So no matter what, at 1 p.m., you're getting to Mariners, whether it's a pregame show, whether it's a game, or whether it's having Brandon Gustafson in studio. So do not worry. We'll get to that segment. What I need to know, though, get your questions in to the Mac and Jacks text line, 866-979-3776. What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. What I Need to Know. At this point, is Russell Wilson in the same tier as Geno or Sam Howell or neither?
He's in a different tier than them.
Yeah.
I mean, even Russell's mediocre season last year is comparable to Geno that same year. And he's had so many successes on his resume. You can't ignore that after only 2 years in a horrible situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's in a different tier.
What I need to know. You have been granted the power to understand and talk to all animals in the world. What would be the first animal that you would want to talk to? I have my answer.
What's yours?
A fly. So that I could literally understand something from a fly on the wall, and I would send the fly into whatever room I wanted, a conversation I wanted to spy on. I don't know what conversation that would be yet, but I would figure it out.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I would be like the best NFL reporter in the nation. They'd be like, how does she know these things? That is crazy.
I would, like, any bird that migrates long distance, I guess they all do, right? Or most of them, just to know about the world. What are they doing way down there or way over there?
What are they doing way down there? What I need to know from the 425, Brock and Salk ranked cool athlete names this morning. What are some of your favorites?
LSU has a kid who just committed named Dakotas.
Yes.
Dakotas.
Mine's Colt McCoy, which sounds like Steve McQueen as a quarterback.
Very good name.
At one point, I think it might have been when, Bump, you were in school, Cal had a pair of quarterbacks, It's impossible. Like, I don't know how you could have two guys with really cool names in the same quarterback room, but they did. Nate Longshore and Brock Manchin.
I played against Longshore.
Yeah.
For sure.
What I mean.
They also had a guy named Joe Ayoub, and Ayoub backwards is Booyah.
Okay. Someone said a fly on the wall for the Seahawks draft room. Yeah, exactly. And then I'd be tweeting out all the picks, and they'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What, does she have intel in here? Do we have a mole? What's going on?
First off, man, fly on the wall. You got to, you know, maybe tidy up a little bit.
Well, I mean, maybe I could have it disguised. I could paint it. You know what I mean? I would give it a little shield. I don't know what I'd do. Maybe it's a little tiny, tiny fly, like a fruit fly.
A little gnat.
Yeah. I mean, I probably have an army of them because it's like, you know, if one of, I don't want to get attached. You know, if one of them's killed or swatted at, I got to have a couple.
He's going to get killed. At least one of them.
Well, I got to let them know that they're doing it for the greater good. I got to build up some trust. You know, it'll be fine. What I need to know, does having a, oh, that's a good question for you. Does having a left-handed quarterback influence an offensive scheme heavily or not so much?
It doesn't influence a scheme. It does when you do like your sprint outs and your rollouts, because it's easier to roll out towards the direction of your strong hand. Mm-hmm. I think it's, if anything, it's an adjustment for the wide receivers because the spin on the ball is different. You're so used to feeling it in your hands a different way.
What I need to know, could Stacey dunk a regulation hoop if she was on the moon? Yes.
No, you could, because you'd be so high up.
Well, because I
could, you mean that, on the moon?
Yeah,
okay,
if I had zero gravity, or if I had like very low gravitational pull. I mean, I think I could.
I think you could.
How high can you jump on the moon?
I don't know.
Is there a way we could Google?
I'm sure there's a way.
Someone could let me know how high you can jump on the moon. I will let you know. What I need to know, where's your favorite spot to eat with family?
My favorite spot, well, my family's favorite spot is this Mexican restaurant in Monroe, El Paraíso. Mm-hmm. The service is great. The food is better. The beers are cold.
Bump. I mean, Curtis, I'm shocked you didn't say Olive Garden.
That's what Matt Nelson and I just said off the air. When you hear your family.
I should have known. I knew it.
So
knew it.
The moon's surface gravity is 1/6 of the Earth's. So
I can't do the math. I failed every math.
Moon's surface gravity is 1.62 meters per second squared, where here on Earth, it's 9.8 meters per second squared.
Speaking another language to me right now.
So you're going to have a lot more bounce on the moon.
So if I could jump a foot in the air, could I jump and dunk in a regulation hoop on the moon?
Because you just keep going.
Is there a scientist? Is anyone work for NASA that can help me?
Y'all really
this
mathing
out?
On radio, huh?
I know.
We
this
know
is
how this
the
ends.
Worst. Yeah. Bump. Do the Chiefs need to add run stoppers if they want to return to a Super Bowl because the running talent of the Ravens?
Okay. Wouldn't hurt.
I like the idea of combating. I remember John Schneider doing an interview a long while ago, and one of the things he said about Jamal Adams is that. Teams in your division do influence some of your big personnel decisions. So if you're looking at like what the 49ers are doing at the time with their fullbacks and with George Kittle or whatever, then you're thinking, well, how do we combat that? Like, you got to face them twice a year.
That is such.
You think it's fake?
No, that's just basic sports, right? All right, what are they doing? Yeah, we got to stop him. Let's go ahead and make sure we can do that.
I know.
You don't just build a team because of your feelings. Like, you know, I feel like we need to do this. It's really based on the trends of your division. I think you start there and then the trends in the NFL.
I think that some people overlook trends in the division being as impactful as it is because they think, well, what do you care? You just want to build the best team. And it's like, no, you got to win your division. Mm-hmm. So how do you get out of that? What will Russell Wilson's corny interview ending phrase be with the Steelers?
Nothing. He has learned his lesson. He's going to say, thank you, go Steelers, and get up out of there.
Someone said the answer is yes, you could easily.
Okay.
Someone said you could jump 9.8 feet based on space.com. I'll take their word for it, man.
I'll
it sounds like
that.
They know what they're talking. Space.com.
Looks like you're windmill dunking.
Feels official. 1/6 gravity means 6 times the jump. Not accounting for resistance. So 1 foot jump is 6 feet as long as you're over 4 feet tall. Check. Okay.
I think you could dunk on Earth.
Let's see what I need to know. Stacey, the disrespect is noted towards your parents' favorite child. Why wouldn't you want to be able to talk to your raccoon sibling? Because I don't want to know him. Let's see. Someone send in non-moon questions, please. 866-979-3776. Oh, Curtis, what was your restaurant that you recommend for you going with a family? Did you tell?
I mean, Red Robin is a great family meal choice, yeah. Right? There's something there for everybody.
Someone said, have you guys seen Gentlemen on Netflix? It's fire. Thank me later.
No, I haven't.
What are you guys watching right now?
I started Love is Blind without my wife. And then I found out that she's been watching it the whole time.
Wow.
And then, so I'm waiting for her to catch up. She goes, okay, are you ready for the reunion yet? I go, I was waiting for you.
Oh, my God. The betrayal.
Betrayal.
Wow.
So I'm still trying to finish that. I've been so tired lately. I just go to sleep.
Wow. That is, Did you feel betrayed at all? Or were you like, I'm not really that into it?
I mean, I leaned into it just because, you know, she would, if I did the same.
What was the last thing you guys TV cheated on your wives with?
That and Married at First Sight.
It's a great show. Mm-hmm. Like, you watched an episode without her?
Yeah.
From this season?
Yeah. No, she did it from this season. I did it last season.
Okay, but You guys, did you, like, just do it, or did you actually go out of your way to, like, open another account and hide it?
I just did it.
You know,
just did it.
Sometimes you gotta do it. You know what I mean? And then you apologize later.
Yeah.
But you gotta know what's gonna happen that week.
Forgiveness.
I know. All right. We are gonna be switching to baseball somehow, some way. We're keeping an eye on the field. You're gonna have a 10-minute pregame show at least. If not, you'll be coming back here. Otherwise, sending you to Mariners baseball next. Don't go anywhere.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.